A while back, we began with all of the speakers by Friday afternoon turning in the sermon or sermonette titles and a little description to Mr. Camerata and myself so we can get the right title involved with the messages. And yesterday afternoon, I got the title and brief description from Craig, and I wrote him back and said, make a great introduction to the sermon. I think it's, I just love it when there's a blending of the messages together and there's a complement of one another, because we pray for God's help and inspiration to give to the congregation what God would like for us to hear. You know, we have the blessing of children ceremony each year, and again, we just do it traditionally on the second Sabbath after the feast. There's nothing in the Bible that says when to do it, and it's been a long-held tradition with us. But with the ceremony, do we miss something very important in our responsibility to our children and to God? We all want to pass something along to our children. A lot of times we pass on advice. I came across the top 10 pieces of advice that dads give their kids, or at least phrases by dads to their kids. Starts with number 10 and going down. This wasn't on David Letterman, but it says, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. And as a kid, you wonder, well, then let's not either of us get hurt and just leave it be, right? I thought my dad came up with all these when I was growing up. Don't forget to bring back the change. You know, when you send your kid out, teenager for something, bring back the change. Get off that thing before you kill yourself. On second thought, don't get off from it. I don't know. Go ask your mother. Be quiet. I'm trying to watch the game. Why? Because I said so. That's why. This is one of my favorite. Quit your crying or I'll give you something to cry about. I don't know how many times I heard that from my dad. I thought I had something to cry about to begin with. And, you know, when I was your age, you walked 5 miles to and from school every day, and it was uphill both ways. Just wait till you have kids. And I did, and my dad was right. You are going, and you are going to have fun. These are some of the phrases we pass on to our children, and maybe you heard them when you were growing up. But seriously, Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. It talks about leaving an inheritance. The inheritance that we would leave to our children or to our grandchildren, yeah, if you've inherited, you know, some money or property or something from your parents or grandparents, that's nice. It'll be nice to be able to leave possessions to our children or grandchildren. But is that really what God is interested in them inheriting from us? Is that really the most important thing? Because Solomon, you know, when he in Ecclesiastes goes through, and it's a feast theme because it was traditionally read at the Feast of Tabernacles, it says it all goes away and it passes on to somebody else. So what's really important? And he concludes with, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole man. There's something more important than passing on an inheritance that's just physical. We pass on, or should be passing on, what we believe, who we are, what and how we think, if it's according to God's way. These are the things that we should be passing on, things really of an eternal inheritance. We pass something on physical and it's going to be gone. We pass something on that involves character, that involves godly traits and godly blessings that can be eternal. We all know that raising children can be challenging at times, but yet raising children is one of the greatest personal privileges that we can be given. Because God wants people in His family, and children are people. You were a child at one time, and now you're geared and ready to be a part of God's family. Well, your children are just the same as you are, but just a little younger. How can we make the most out of this awesome opportunity of raising children and grandchildren and adopted children in the greater family and the greater church as aunts and uncles? This morning I want to talk about how we can bring blessings upon our children and grandchildren. You know, again, we have the blessing of children, but is it just something the minister does? Or can we pass on blessings to our children as the greater church, as parents, as grandparents? And how can we do that? The first thing we need to understand about passing blessings on to our children is that to give blessings, we must receive blessings from God. You can't give something you don't have. How can you pass on a blessing to your children if you don't have a blessing from God first? Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. You know, God, so many times, and the scripture is full of this comparison between Him as our Father and we as our children's parents. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask Him?" God wants to give good things to you. He wants to give blessings to us. Just as we want to give blessings to our children. I don't think there's a parent in their right mind at all who doesn't want the best for their kids and sometimes will do just about anything so our children will have blessings and so that they'll grow and they'll be good people. You know, Luke 12:32 said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He wants to bless us with eternal life, and we want to pass those blessings on to our children. God obviously has to be the one to give them the ultimate blessings. But the Bible speaks of us being involved in blessing our children. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, this was just read a few minutes ago. Again, before we can pass on a blessing, we've got to receive a blessing. Mr. Hoyer read the scriptures previous to this, but when it boils down to it, this is what God has given us. And boy, I'll tell you, this is a great blessing. You know, you talk about an inheritance. And you know, if you had a... How many of you received a car for an inheritance? Did some of you receive a car? Is the car still running? After a while, it won't be. Okay, it's done and it's over with. But this is the inheritance God gives to us. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." With that calling comes a responsibility to declare it to others. Because He's called you out of the world, a special calling, a special gift, a special blessing into the truth. And our children are the first ones we need to pass that calling on to and that blessing on to. And He says, "You who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." God has given us a gift and He's given us blessings. And He says, we need to pass that on. It's our job. It's our duty. It's our requirement. But we have to get it before we can pass it on. In Genesis 12, we're not going to turn over to there, but God chose and called Abraham to live a life of faith and obedience. He called him out of the world into his plan, into his purposes, just like we just read the scripture in 1 Peter 2, that God called us out. So he called out Abraham. And then God blessed Abraham after he called him out. He blessed Abraham. He blessed Sarah. And not only Abraham and Sarah, but he blessed Abraham's descendants. What Mr. Hoyer was talking about is a blessing that was passed on through even a stone, symbolically, passing that on and showing how it would go from one ruler to another, to another, to another, all the way down. More important than a rock and the stone is the blessing that is given, and our blessing that we need to pass on to our children. Turn to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. So the blessing of children isn't just an act that happens once a year by the laying on of hands of the ministry. The blessing of children is done by parents, by adopted parents, by grandparents, to their children. Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, God said to Abraham, "No longer will your name be called Abram, but you shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceeding fruitful. And I'll make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between you and your descendants after you, in their generations, to an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you." God is concerned with our individual calling, but God is family. God works through families and with families, and he wants our children to receive that blessing and that inheritance. Sometimes the children don't respond, and that's diverted. I don't know, many of you have children that don't have much of an interest in religion at this point. Everything's not done yet. You know, God's not through. And God will work with the person when he's ready and when they're willing. But this was a blessing given to Abraham and his descendants. And in principle, when God gives us a special calling, then he wants our descendants to be blessed also. Verse 8, I give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger and all the Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So Abraham's interaction with God didn't just affect Sarah and Abraham. It affected their descendants. It affected their children and grandchildren, and spiritually on up to us today. In a spiritual sense, we are those descendants. Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103. And verse 17, Psalm 103, 17, New Living Translation says, "But the love of the Lord remains forever with those that fear him." Now, as I said, we have to receive the blessing first, and we don't receive the blessing unless we are willing recipients of the blessing and are willing to do as God commands us to do. We can receive that blessing, and then it can be passed on. But then it says, and continuing in verse 17, "His salvation extends to the children's children." It's opportunity. It's not a guarantee that everyone is going to have salvation, but it does show there's an opportunity for that child and those children to respond. Verse 18, "Of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments." We receive the commandments if we're willing to do our part, if we're willing to obey, if we're willing to dedicate ourselves to God. There was one time among many that Israel was sinning against God, And God was punishing Israel in the wilderness, as oftentimes happened. Turn to Numbers 25. Numbers 25. And we read of Aaron. And we read of Aaron's son, Eleazar. And we read of Aaron's grandson, Phinehas. So we've got the three generations here. In Numbers 25 and verse 10, the New Century Version, the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, has saved the Israelites from my anger. He hates sin as much as I do. Since he tried to save my honor among them, I will not kill them. So tell Phinehas that I'm going to make my peace agreement with him. Verse 13, he and his descendants will always be priests because he had great concern for the honor of his God. He removed the sins of the Israelites so they would belong to God. Phinehas was zealous for the honor of God. And as a result of his dedication to God and of his just wanting to stand up for the honor of God, then a blessing was passed on to his children. It's the same thing with you. When you stand up for what is right, when you stand up for God, to defend God and his rights. You know, today people stand up and they'll protest for human rights. They'll stand up and protest for animal rights. You know, some people will almost kill another human being to save a cat or a dog or something like that. How many people stand up for God's rights? God has a right to be loved as the Father. God has a right to be honored as a Father. Phinehas was one who was willing to honor, respect, and obey God. And God said, because he had concern for the honor of God, it says, then he removed the sins of the Israelites so they would belong to God. Do we set the example as a parent, as a grandparent, as a member of the congregation, of being zealous for the honor of God? When we do, our children are blessed for that. Proverbs 20 and verse 7 says, a righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. You know, my brother-in-law, Larry Jansen, farms out in southeast Colorado, and he could continue the tradition of picking up a loan from this banker that knew his dad, Ray Jansen, for so many years. And basically, Mr. Jansen could get a loan with a handshake with his banker because he was so honest. He knew him so well. He knew that he would have integrity. And Larry was able to take off from some of that, the integrity of his father. Can our children pick up from the integrity of you? Do we set that example? Can we be one who honors God and our children are blessed as a result of that? And they say, I know that family. I know they're good people. Your dad was honest, and I know you'll be honest. Can we say that? I think we got examples in here of that type of thing. You trust Jim Miller not just because he's Jim Miller, but partly because he's Mike Miller's son. And then Jim picked up on what his dad taught him, and they're both honorable people. And we could go on with the rest of your stories about you being honorable people with Fogelsons and go down the line. There are blessings that come from a righteous man walking in integrity. Now, second thing in blessing our children is that we solidify God's blessings by instructing them in the right way. It was touched on in Sermonette 2. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19 So we solidify God's blessings to our children by instructing our children in God's way. We certainly are there to set a good example and to live a right way, but it can't just be an example. It's also got to be instructing. On the other hand, it can't just be instructing and not living. We have to do both in order to bring the blessings to our children. Genesis 18:19, God said this about Abraham, "For I know him that he will keep, may command his children and his household after them that they may keep the way of the Lord." God said, "I know Abraham." You know, that good word, that good reputation that he had, and that he's going to command his children. He's going to teach them the right thing. If they don't obey, that's up to them. You know, they may stray, but I know that Abraham will teach his children. Can God say that about you as a parent or you as a grandparent? That I know them and they will teach their children my ways. Now, the blessing was passed on to his children, and that's one of the ways that it was. It says that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Blessings were promised to Abraham and his descendants, and one of the reasons is because he knew that Abraham would teach his children, and so his children could be worthy of being blessed. Because you don't want to pass on the inheritance to someone who's going to be wastrel and squander it. So God called Abraham, promised to bless his descendants, because he knew Abraham would instruct his children. And again, we instruct our children both through words and actions. You can't just have words without the example. And you can't just have an example without the words. Now, there are those of you here without children, maybe never had children, or maybe you're older and your children are gone, and you know, I can't really apply this to my kids here because they're not with me here or whatever. Turn to Isaiah chapter 56. This principle of doing God's will and then God blessing you with a gift of the blessings of eventually salvation. Yes, we have to do our part, but it's a gift that God gives to us. We all have a role to play. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 3, the New Living Translation, it says, "Don't let the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord," and this is just saying, anybody in the audience here, okay, you don't have an excuse. You can't say, "Well, this doesn't apply to me." He says, "Don't let the foreigners that commit themselves to the Lord say, 'The Lord will never let me be a part of his people.'" Or don't let the eunuchs say, people that have never had children, or maybe who don't have children around today. And don't let the eunuchs say, "I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future." Verse 4, "For this is what the Lord says, I will bless the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me." Verse 5, "I will give them within the walls of my house a memorial and a name far greater than sons and daughters could give. For the name I give them is an everlasting one, and they will never disappear." Now, the blessings that God gives as a result of our obedience and our dedication to him and our being zealous for him and for his honor is passed on to us, and it's passed on to those around us that we affect. So again, we all have a part to play in this process. Jesus never had children. Paul, no record of his having children, yet they had a great effect on the church. Jesus obviously had a great effect on all humanity. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's notice a couple of things about this familiar instruction. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, this is giving instruction to children. And it says, verse 2, "Honor your father and mother, which is a first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Well, certainly this is an instruction to children, but where do your children get this instruction? Hopefully from you. You know, we as parents are the ones that teach our children about the commandment that says, honor your father and your mother. So this is basically a command for parents to teach your children to honor you as a parent, to honor their grandparents, to honor other adults, teaching respect. And when you teach respect, when you teach your children to be able to honor those who are older, you're teaching them to honor God. You're teaching them to live a way of life that gives respect to those that deserve respect. And as a result, it says that it may be well with you. You'll receive a blessing as a result of obeying this commandment. And where do they learn the commandment? From you. It's a parent's responsibility to teach children about God. And when you do, it will go well with you. There'll be a blessing that comes from our instruction of our children. Verse 4, it says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Don't provoke your children to wrath. It's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Maybe that's not what it's talking about, but it's important to teach our children respect as parents, as God's representatives, respect for authority. But there's this point here of fathers, don't exasperate your children. New International Version in verse 4 says, don't exasperate your children. Don't provoke them to wrath. How would you exasperate your children? How do you provoke them? Is it by just being a mean parent? Is that what it's talking about? I think primarily because the words training and admonition in these verses imply an element of discipline and correction. We all need discipline and correction. When we don't get it, we're exasperated. Children need discipline and correction. And if they don't get it, it frustrates them. And parents of, you know, that don't understand this, they feel, well, you know, my kids don't want to be corrected because they're always pushing the rules. And maybe all your kids don't do this, but I know if you've got more than one, at least one of them does, that will push the rules as far as they can go. And they'll see, do you really mean it when you say that they should do something? Push the envelope. They'll reach out and touch something you tell them not to. And what they want is not the freedom to do anything they want, but to see where those boundaries are. And if you don't give them the boundaries, they get frustrated. Hebrews chapter 12. Well, there's an element of discipline and correction, and I'm not talking about just beating your kids senseless or anything so foolish as that. But when you teach them, and if necessary through discipline and correction, the boundaries, what God's law and what God's direction is, and how to handle those situations, and give them the guidance and the compassion and the mercy to help them through those things, a blessing comes as a result. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 12 that proper correction is a blessing. And here again, he uses us and God as the Father and us and our children. Hebrews 12:7 says, "So hold on through your sufferings, because they are like a father's discipline." And this speaks to us all. We're going to go through, we go through tests, we go through trials. And you say, why am I having to go through this? Why doesn't God just let me do whatever I want? Why is God limiting me through this trial? It says, God is treating you as children. All children are disciplined by their fathers or by their parents. Anyone who loves their children disciplines their children. And if you're never disciplined, you're not true children. We're not doing our part as parents if they're not properly disciplined. Verse 9. We have all had fathers here on earth who disciplined us, and we respected them. They established boundaries. Wise parents establish wise boundaries. Not unreasonable, not silly, but wise boundaries. So it's even more important that we accept discipline from the Father of our spirit so we will have life. God disciplines us because he loves us, and we get a blessing as a result. Verse 10, our fathers on earth disciplined us for a short time in the way they thought was best, but God disciplines us to help us so we can become as holy as he. With proper discipline comes character, comes righteous action, and it's a blessing. So proper discipline is a blessing to children too. Verse 11, we don't enjoy being disciplined. It's painful. But later, after we've learned from it, we have peace because we start living the right way. And with living the right way comes blessings from God. So without proper guidance, kids get exasperated. It's a parent's responsibility to set boundaries. It's a parent's responsibility to set correct behavior and direction. You know, the parent that says, well, I'm not going to tell my kids what to believe, so they can grow up choosing whatever religion they want. It may sound open-minded. It may sound very understanding or chic or whatever. Or I'm not going to make my kids go to church. I'll just let them decide. Would you do that with school? You know, my kids would really rather not go to school, and so I'll just let them decide whether they go or not. I'll let them stay home and watch TV. And they'll decide the right thing on their own. It would not be a very wise parent. What if you did that with what they eat? You know, I'll let my children decide whether they would rather have ice cream or salad. You know, and they'll make the right decisions. No, we instruct our children in the right way. When they're old, they make their own decisions. But in the meantime, we have the job to discipline them. Godliness is actually, and it's not just the number of words we say, godliness is more often caught than it is taught. You know, they see the example. They see you doing the right thing. Do they learn more from the values you live or the values you lip? Because you can lip values all day long and not live it. Another way that we can impart blessings to our children is by speaking it into their lives. This isn't preaching at them. It's not the same as what I just was talking about. Some of you may have read Gary Smalley's book, The Blessing, and in it he attempts to show how we impact our children through the words we speak, you know, with encouraging and helpful words, words that guide them instead of words that belittle, that reject them as an individual, that make them feel foolish or worthless. You know, and the words we speak and how we speak to them will be a blessing to them. It's one thing to correct behavior, which you can and should do, but it's another to attack their worth, to attack their value. God values your children, and we had better. And if we don't, and we speak derogatorily about them as an individual, that is not going to be a blessing to them. Our words should not only guide our kids, but should inspire them. It should encourage them, just as we want to be encouraged. Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah 29, if you can imagine this being a parent speaking to a child, Well, it is, because this is God the Father talking to his children in the way he feels about us. And this is the way that we should speak with our children. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10, New International, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. When we encourage our kids to develop, to do their best, and to reward them for good actions, and to help them through their difficult times, to let them know that they're valued, that's what God does with us. You know, we came back from the feast hopefully encouraged about what God has in store for us, about what he's going to do to bring blessings to the world. Well, on a physical level, that's what our children need. Verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found for you, by you, declares the Lord. He's got plans for us. He's got plans for our children to help them to be the best that they can be in whatever they decide to do when they grow up. Okay, and then a fourth thing is that we can impart blessings by a specific request to God. I heard of a woman who one time would, when she'd have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, would take that grandchild on her lap and just pray a special blessing over the grandchild or the great-grandchild because she wanted the best for her descendants. You know, Jesus did pick up little children in his arms and said, forbid them not. But again, is that just within the realm of the ministry to do? You know, when you are sick, it says, any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Does that mean you don't pray for yourself or we don't pray for others? Yes, it says pray for one another. And certainly we go through and follow the example of Christ with the blessing of children, but how wonderful is it to bless your own children or your own grandchildren, just asking God to give a special blessing to them? You don't think God would honor that? I believe that he would. I'm not trying to take anybody's job, because God is the one that blesses, not any person. Ministry doesn't heal. But you pray for healing for individuals, and ministry anoints, ministry blesses children. But I believe you can give that blessing too. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. Hebrews 11, verse 20. And maybe you've got kind of an adopted grandparent or an adopted parent that you're close to in the church. I just think it would be nice to ask them to come, if you have a child, and say, listen, could we just ask a special blessing? And even as the kids get older and are going through things at school or whatever, to be there as a family and just ask specific blessings to be passed on to your children, to help them through the bullying they're going through at school or the difficult times with other kids or whatever they're going through. I think God would honor that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You know, there are things that come up in our children's lives, and we want them to be blessed with it, to be blessed with a good mate and to be blessed with children and, you know, blessed with really God's spirit and the calling we'd certainly ask for. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now these words were inspired by God. This action was inspired by God to pass on some of the blessings, as the sermonette was talking about. Imparting those blessings to the next generations in kind of a prophetic dimension, in which we see now how those blessings have come about. But on another level, can we not ask blessings for our children, for our grandchildren, and just involve God in their lives, and they hear that And as they're older and can understand what you're doing for them, and they're hearing the prayer that you're asking for them, say, God, you blessed us with a calling. Please pass that on to my children that you love so much. The greatest inheritance we can give our children is the blessings that God has given to us. Passing on material inheritance is fine, but to impart a spiritual blessing based upon God's word is eternal, or has that possibility. It says, they'd say about MasterCard, priceless. You know, you can't put a cost on those blessings that come through God that we pass on to our children. So don't let the blessing of children be the only time a blessing is passed on to our children. It's up to each of us to pass on blessings to our children by receiving the blessings that God has given to us through our example, through our obedience and our dedication to God. By passing on the blessing of God's way through proper instruction and example. We bless our children by speaking that blessing into their lives through encouraging and helpful words and instruction in God's way. And I think we can do that by a personal request to God for prophetic blessings about their lives, that things will go well with them. And may God bless your efforts as you pass on the blessings He has given you to your children.